There is a reason why Yahweh created every single one of us. His word tells us that he knows the plans that he has for us. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. If you are a mildly serious believer in Christ, then you must be familiar with the Bible verse above. It is one of the favorite verses used in the 21st century church and a classic go-to for our modern-day Pharisees and false prophets in their exasperating motivational speeches disguised as sermons. How many of us are aware of the fact that, like the verse above, our God, Yah, in the triune person of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, is a very nuanced, mighty being who does not compromise himself for our volatile feelings? Do we ever think about that? He works in ways that must be learned, assimilated, respected, and then integrated in our spirits, souls, and hearts so that we can be enabled by his Holy Spirit to bear fruit for his kingdom. And before I go further into this address, I would like to welcome you to the Fruit Factory. My name is Elvira, and I am the Lord's servant for this work. You are very welcome to this platform. This ministry is a call to true Israel and the End Times Church. True Israel, because the current Israel that people think is Israel, is false. The time for harvest is at hand, and our Lord, Jesus Christ, is sounding the trumpet. Only the fruitful will make it. If you have any doubts about that, please go and read John 15. He goes into great detail to try and explain to us that he is not interested in lifeless, fruitless, and useless Christianity. I would encourage you to subscribe and watch out for new prophecies, but only if you're serious about making the necessary changes in your life to truly follow and bear fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. I am less worried about the quantity than I am about the quality. If you will desert our Lord and just go back to your regular life after listening to him without taking heed of his warnings, without preparing yourself for his coming, and without becoming a diligent and skilled worker on his field for his glory, then please do not subscribe. I truly mean this. There is a library of things that the Lord has given me to publish here. Many of them are already written and ready to just be on these public platforms. They are ready for release. Others, I'll have to rework them and transcribe them in digital format. But there is a lot that is coming. And whether you decide to subscribe or not, whether you decide to make the commitment to the Lord or not, I wish you a very warm welcome. You can still listen. And maybe one day the Lord will touch you and bring you to make that commitment that, Lord, I am going to hold on to you and nothing else. I pray for you. I genuinely do. Before publishing these things, in my prayer time, I pray for the people that the Lord has given me for this work. You are my responsibility, and I do not take that lightly. These pastors do so. Sometimes they do things, the false teachers, false prophets, and so forth. They sometimes do things, and I'm thinking, do you know what you're doing? You cannot play with God's people like that. He is very protective over his people. He is very protective over those he calls his own. Why would you bring his wrath upon yourself this way? You have no fear of God. And you are foolish. Because if you read 2 pages of your Bible and you saw the things the Lord would do to his enemies, you would be on your knees begging for forgiveness in his sight, instead of continuing with this circus that has come into the church. Anyway, let's continue. I am reading now out of what has been published on thefruitfactory.co, which is our primary platform, and I highly recommend that you go there and read it for yourself as well. So, the Bible verse above, what I just read, Jeremiah 29, verse 11, speaks about the Lord wanting to prosper you and not to harm you. One would be inclined to equate these terms to success, money, wealth, and so forth. Yet, if you look throughout scripture to try and understand what Yah considers prosperity, you will realize that it is not, and it does not have the same definition as what we were taught in school or in church, for that matter. For some context, as it pertains to this Bible verse, the Lord goes on to describe what will happen to his people when they prosper. In Jeremiah 29, verses 12 to 14, it is written, "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile." The Lord is speaking of a return to prayer, an intimate relationship with him, a surrender to him, a softening of the heart, a reconciliation with him, and freedom from captivity. Now, think about this for a moment. Is this what would naturally come to your mind when you hear the word prosperity? In other translations of the Bible, instead of plans to prosper you and not to harm you, it is written thoughts of peace and not of evil. And again, we read the word peace and naturally equate it to something that is either an emotional feeling or a lack of war. Yet, the peace you get from Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, is neither. It is not a peaceful feeling in your chest, because a person like Apostle Paul spoke of peace all the time, yet was simultaneously getting flogged to near death, imprisoned, and held captive because of his faith in Christ. Didn't Paul feel pain, sorrow, and even fear from the brutal and inhumane treatment he suffered? Of course he did. He talked about it. He wrote about it in his different letters to the churches. Yet he always returned to this term, peace. He always spoke of peace. So what is this peace? This peace is divine, and it transcends emotions in the soul and can only be felt in the spirit. The peace of Christ is neither related to war or the lack thereof, nor to the state of the world around us that our physical bodies may react to. This peace is spiritual steadfastness. This peace is inner calm. This peace is quiet confidence and unshakable hope. The particular verse above is often preached as a prosperity promise. And like every other prosperity text in the world, in the Word of the Lord, the church has interpreted it as a wealth-building and money-making promise designed to please her ears and bury her soul in the pool of pleasures that the Lord does not recognize as the truth. She has lacked understanding for several decades and subsequently wisdom. Unfortunately, the modern church, thanks to her corrupt leaders, has decided to interpret much of what the Lord gave us in his word as the world does, or worse, as it was dictated to her by Satan, the father of all lies. Yes, because Satan is in the church. Satan is the ruler of religion. If you do not know, now you do. And do you know what the Lord calls religion? He calls it poison, because it has poisoned his ecclesia. Here is a truth. Prosperity in the eyes of God is obedience to his word and his demands upon our lives. Prosperity in the eyes of Yahweh is a surrender to his will and a tight-knit relationship with him. In turn, the natural results of this prosperity will be freedom from afflictions, sicknesses, poverty, theft, destruction, and the death that is bestowed upon us by the kingdom of darkness. How many people were taught this by the church? Did you hear this teaching in church? Let me not mention in schools or such institutions. Yet the Bible is overwhelmingly insistent on this basic principle in the kingdom of our Lord. A quick read through the Psalms of David will make this abundantly clear. In the Lord's holy book, our prosperity begins and ends with our obedience and dependency on him. The rest of it, wealth, success, etc., is only a natural result, a mere consequence of our submission to him. Matthew 6, verse 33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." There is also another important side of the coin to consider. What if prosperity, as in obedience, results in what most may consider suffering or misfortune? Its results may not be the niceties of life listed above. There surely weren't any niceties for the likes of Paul and the other apostles in their time. But that is not a problem for the Lord and should not be a problem for us. When we grasp the truth that in every act of obedience to Jesus Christ, we are actually doing what is in our best interest, because everything he ordains and demands is for our own good and will always work out in our favor. When we understand this principle, obedience becomes a no-brainer, a lifestyle, a natural state of being. Even if obedience does not manifest as physical riches, that good is registered in an eternal realm, which is the place, the only place that counts. Don't get it twisted. The everlasting reward in Christ Jesus far outweighs anything that this broken, dark, and twisted world may dangle in front of you. I have been writing 10 paragraphs on a single Bible verse to begin to answer the question, what does bearing fruit mean? Because in this place, Jesus Christ's fruit factory, we operate within a specific paradigm. Our paradigm is exclusive to Yahweh's word, his purposes for our lives, and the fate of the world around us, so that his will may be done on earth, just like in heaven. This is the very meaning behind mankind's creation and what bearing fruit encompasses. This paradigm is built upon the precepts that 1. We serve a sovereign God, Jesus Christ. 2. He has divine standards. 3. He is holy and pure. And 4. He demands complete surrender to him through humility of heart, faith without sight, and obedience to his word, the Bible. And when I say precept, I mean that something that precedes a concept, the idea behind a concept, the thought that gives a concept its meaning, the foundational belief of a concept, the underlying reasoning behind an expressed idea or thing. We have just taken the examples of two basic terminologies, prosperity and peace. These are two very universal concepts with well-known definitions, yet when it comes to the kingdom of God, the precepts of these terms imply something different. We must develop the capacity to gaze into the Lord's precepts to function correctly at the most basic level of our relationship with him. And this can only happen through a paradigm shift by renewing our minds. We have just entered times that no one alive in this generation has ever seen, and failure to adapt quickly and adopt the precepts of the Lord Jesus Christ would be like purchasing a one-way ticket to hell. Anything or anyone who does not comprehend and believe these basic precepts is bound to be consumed by darkness at one point or another. So, with this in mind, let's read the verse above again, and this time with a different mind and within this new paradigm. For I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a new hope for the future. Suppose that the wonderful plan that the Lord has for you, to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a new hope for the future. Suppose that it means that in these end times, you are called to be part of the martyred believers, that heaven is still expecting to come before the Lord's return. This is mentioned in Revelation 6. You can go and read it for context. If that is the fruit you are called to bear for Yah, will you be able to say that the Lord has kept his word of prosperity to you? Have you arrived at a posture of the heart where you would consider such a fate as a plan that prospers you, does not harm you, and gives you a new hope for the future? Are you willing to allow the Holy Spirit to work on your heart, spirit, and character to prepare you for the ultimate sacrifice of your life? That which you were, in this scenario, predestined to bear as the perfect fruit in the Lord's sight. I am taking the extreme example of martyrdom here because in these end times, many will die that way. The Word of God has already proclaimed it, and the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he spoke it out of his mouth, promising us persecution, even unto death. Real Christians have continued to be killed in many parts of the world since the Lord Jesus, since the Lord Jesus ascended to sit at the right hand of the Father. And in these end times, there will be a sharp spike in this phenomenon. These are the realities we must be ready for. So I invite you to make a paradigm shift in your heart, soul, and spirit right now if you have not already. Go to the secret place before the Lord. Repent and seek his face with humility, consistency, and patience. If you do this sincerely, he will be faithful to respond, and from there on, your life will never be the same. I am Elvira. I am the Lord's worker for this work, this ministry, the Fruit Factory. And I thank you for listening to this. But before you go, please head over to the website, thefruitfactory.co, where there are resources. There are statements and proclamations that the Lord made me write down over there that will not be published on these audio and video platforms and that you need to read if you're part of his church or if you're part of True Israel. And if you enjoyed the content of this publication, please like it. Please share it with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And subscribe if this is the kind of truth, if this is the kind of fellowship that you desire in your life. Fellowship with the Word of God, fellowship with his revelation. So that said, I thank you once more to be here, and I pray that the Lord will bless you abundantly and that he will draw you closer to him as you seek him deeper and with a sincere heart. God bless you.